You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Ross Nelson with Marshall Reddick. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Ken.
Well, thanks for being on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun working with you on deals.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ross and I are actually good buddies. We go back a number of years. I've actually been working with the Marshall Reddick Real Estate Company now for, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think you started calling on us in like 2009 and we finally caved in.
That's right.
2011 was the best decision we ever made.
That's right. It took a little bit. I knocked down their doors until they're like, okay, Ken, fine. Okay, we'll do business with you. All right, leave me alone.
I was so glad we did. It's been an awesome relationship ever since.
So just high level, Marshall Reddick Real Estate, they're based in Newport Beach, California, and they sell turnkey properties all over the country. And so I'm in Atlanta and I sort of represent the turnkey opportunities in Atlanta. But you guys are in how many markets, Ross?
We're in 11 markets. And that kind of varies too. You know, I would say we're probably in 15, 16 different markets, but as you know, markets change drastically. So we were very heavy in Las Vegas, Phoenix, Orange County. And it's pretty tough out there right now in those particular markets, which is, you know, allowed us to transition to markets like Atlanta, Fort Myers, San Antonio, where we feel they're still great investments. So we're not necessarily married to one market because we have teams in all of those markets.
Gotcha. Well, just to clarify too, they're selling long-term investments. This isn't like a fix and flip type company. I mean, for the most part, investors around the country that want to invest in other markets, they come to Marshall Reddick and they say, okay, where's a good opportunity for me to stick my money for the next 5 years or 10 years and get some good positive cash flow? And because you guys are in so many different markets, you're able to offer them a variety of options.
Yeah, it's been, technology, you hear this word disruption all the time, and it's done the same to real estate as it's done to, travel industry, auto industry, everything now is, if you can't do it from your phone, it's clearly not important.
Yeah, that's true.
And real estate is no different. So it's been really cool to see how just e-signature and data and research and software and websites can make the investment process very easy. And, you don't have to. The old adage back in the day for a lot of the old timers is, if you can't go out and kick the tires, be a little weary, where, now you just get on Google Maps and Street View and greatschools.org and can do all your due diligence behind your computer, which has been so cool.
Absolutely. And I will attest to the fact that you guys definitely lean heavily on technology, I think even more so than most of the other turnkey companies out there. And the truth is, Marshall Reddick himself probably was the pioneer of this model of setting up turnkey operations in other markets and selling them to local investors there in California.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Marshall basically invented the REIA, if you will, the Real Estate Investment Club scene, and the out-of-state purchases back in the late 70s. Hmm. So when he was doing it, he was literally flying or driving out to these markets and taking Polaroid pictures.
Oh my gosh!
And coming back, and at his club meetings and at his real estate events, which we still do today. Day as well as online, because he didn't really have that option back in the 70s, would show these Polaroid pictures and pamphlets on different communities. And if anyone liked anything, they'd print out the contract, sign it, mail it away, and wait a week for the realtor, who would then get the seller to sign it and mail it back and wait another week. And so it was it was very different times, but it's if anything, it's just made our transparency of our business and our investors just move a lot faster, be able to make a lot more educated decisions.
Sure.
So it's been positive, you know, for the most part, obviously now anybody with $100 can go make a website and become an expert tomorrow. So there is a lot of that as well. So where before it was, if you wanted to invest out of state in the U.S., at least, you know, 90% of that went through Marsh Reddick Real Estate, where today, you know, there's tons of little mom and pop shops everywhere. So, you know, there are definitely pros and cons to that. But Absolutely. For the most part, it's been great.
So let's talk about how you went from just working for Marshall Reddick. Now, where you're the CEO of Marshall Reddick. When did you start working for them, and kind of what was your entry point into real estate?
Yeah, I in college I worked at a yacht club, just on boats and stuff. And I love the water. I do a ton of sailing, ton of surfing, and just talking to some of the guys there, and just got pretty close to this one guy in his late 30s, and just kind of took me under his wing, and I interned for him in college, doing A-class office tenant representation. So when businesses move, there's a lot of moving parts, whether they're leasing or they're buying. And that was kind of my first jump into real estate, was interning for him in college. Then my roommate actually was interning at Marshall Reddick Real Estate at the time, and they did the investment side of things. And so we were just talking back and forth, and it was really interesting, and I enjoyed it. And at the end of it, I kind of decided, you know, I love real estate, but I wanted to move away from the A-class office leasing and tenant representation, and wanted to move more towards the investment side. And Marshall at that time, you know, was doing that. And that was 2009. So that was literally, I graduated college in 2008. So when I made the decision, all right, like I'm going to do real estate investing, 2008 wasn't necessarily the best time to make that decision.
Timing was not fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. The timing could probably have not been worse unless we were, you know, graduating college in the roaring 20s and kind of stepped into the Great Depression. That probably would have been the only other time that could have topped worst timing ever to get into real estate investing. So I just was really passionate about it. I really enjoyed it. I love finance. I love numbers. And I loved real estate, and I didn't really want to do anything else. So I kind of waited it out and took about 7 months. I landed a job in 2009, finally, with the company as an account manager, just working with our realtors and property managers and contractors in each of our markets. And that also got me to start connecting and building relationships with our investors. And I was just a sponge. You know, I obviously got my real estate license and then my broker's license, and just, you know, reading anything and everything I could get a hold of, just asking tons of questions. And even still today, you know, my nickname is the question man, because I just, Ken's laughing because it's all,
it's so, you know, true.
Every time we talk, it's like, hey, I have a question for you. And then 2 hours later, and that's how you learn, you know? So just asking tons of questions and building relationships. And, you know, Marshall's, in his mid-70s now, so he was in his late 60s back then, and just, you know, didn't grow up with an iPhone and didn't grow up with a laptop, and never put a heavy emphasis in technology, just because it didn't exist when he started the business, and he was very successful, as well as his investors, at doing it just with good old-fashioned faxing and paper files. And so when I started working there, we were still, you know, we didn't have shared company file folders. We didn't have a CRM. Our website was basically just, you know, those old school business cards with like multicolor flashing.
Nice.
And this was right when, you know, we saw Yelp and Facebook and Zillow and LinkedIn and all these very forward thinking, very user friendly social websites starting to come up. So that ultimately, you know, with the crash and the downturn and everything, really crippled us as a business, because we had no online presence. On top of that, there, you know, was the largest recession in my lifetime, probably Marshall's as well. And so sales were down dramatically, and it was really a bloodbath out there. And so that's when I had the opportunity 2 years later to move into the director of operations position. And from there, I kind of took all that knowledge I had gained the last 2.5 years on the real estate investing side and pretty much didn't do anything real estate investment related and just focused 100% on the operations of the business, from making us completely paperless to building out a new website for our investors to allow them to look at the cash flow on their property and look at the school districts and look at the returns on investment and compare markets. So there really is no website out there where you can look at, 10 different major metropolitan areas in the United States and compare, what are the purchase prices? What are the rents? What is the class of property in regards to, luxury A, B, C, D? And in each of those property classes, understanding what the returns on investment are. You go to Zillow and Zillow has good deals, bad deals, and everything in between, and it's catered towards owner occupants. And I wanted to create an environment and create a place that was, residential real estate as well, but catered to investors. And so I put in place those processes and systems. And then in 2011, I really, got to make my own decisions. And then last year, I had the opportunity to actually purchase the company with one other employee who's now my business partner, and become CEO. And that was really just fuel to the fire. And, the last, we did that in February of last year. So the last 18 months or almost 18 months has just been so fun and just, really just diving in head first into this and really growing the company and making investors a ton of money along the way. And it's been an awesome journey, and it's, I've just really enjoyed it.
Well, I can definitely attest to the fact that you've brought the company into the 21st century. That's for darn sure. You guys put a lot of emphasis on technology, and you didn't even talk about your back end, because I know you probably spent years getting your CRM and everything up to par, where I don't know anybody that's got as dynamic of a CRM as you guys do.
Yeah, it's, we have two full-time web developers, which if you, would have asked me 6-7 years ago, what I would be doing as a real estate investor, it would not have been hiring web developers. But at the same time, a year worth of work for a web developer for us, has really reduced our labor costs. So we have less employees today. But with that said, we have more knowledge of our investors, and we give them a better quality of customer service. Now we have our phone systems integrated into our CRM, which sounds so simple, but when you call before, it was like, hi, Marsh Reddick Real Estate, how are you? And it's like, good. It's like, hey, this is John Doe. Oh, great, John. How do you know Marshall? Oh, I've invested and bought 11 properties with you guys and funded 3 private money loans. That's how I know you. And it's like, oh, shoot. Like, this is like a really well-valued client and investor, and we're asking him who he is, where today, when the phone rings, their investment profile just pops up, and that, okay, John Doe is a very valuable investor to us, and we can see the deals he's invested in and where his properties are at currently, and the conversation can just be a lot more enjoyable for the investor, but also to us, because we don't have to waste time on the small talk of like, who are you, verify, blah 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 blah, so just little things like that, they don't come easy to implement, but once you implement them, it just really gives the customer a lot better experience. And today, especially in the service industry, anyone can have a real estate license, anyone can be a property manager. It's just service. It's so the biggest thing is like, are you the best at providing that service? Because if you're not, they're going to Google someone else and find who is the best. So that's sure. Really what we've had to focus on is just providing the best service along with our investments.
So give us an idea of just like the scope of your business. How many deals are you guys selling a month around the country?
Yeah, so we have two parts. One is your traditional real estate investing. So we have amazing teams like Ken, who are our boots on the ground, and they are our realtors, contractors, property managers. And we're doing between 20-25 closings a month. And for us, you know, we're not your traditional realtor. So it's a lot of work when we close a deal, because as investors, you know, our typical investor is the working professional that does not want to do real estate full time. They're either a business owner or, you know, middle or upper level management, or, you know, a professional CPA or a doctor or lawyer or engineer or, you know, developer. And they just want to subsidize their income. So they want to be as hands-off as possible, but at the same time, be invested in real estate and create passive income. So that's one aspect of it. And then the second aspect is we do a lot of private money lending. So like Ken, for example, we lend Ken millions of dollars a month to acquire, renovate, and sell properties. So our investors can invest in those first trust deeds as well, which is a little different than real estate, obviously both backed by real estate. But with those, they're a lot more short term. So they're 6 to 12 month investments, where with our buy and hold, you know, it's 10 to 15 years, in my opinion, to really make the returns that an investor would want if you're just buying a property to rent it out. I think it's too much work to own a property for 2 or 3 years. So with all the properties that I buy and our investors buy, we recommend that, you know, they're really looking at that 10, 15 year outlook. So the mortgages are great because it's a 6 to 12 month outlook. And we're doing about 10 to 15 a month of the private money with our investors.
In either case, again, who you guys cater to is that investor who wants to be hands off, wants to put their money to work for them, but without, you know, being the boots on the ground. And so your model for that type of investor is just perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you know, because we are in Newport Beach in Orange County, we do actually have realtors who invest with us as well, because they do very well at their job, but they don't necessarily want to buy a house, you know, for $1 million that rents out for $4,000 a month. You know, so yeah. That's just how the numbers work out here. So they, you know, look to markets like Fort Myers or San Antonio or Austin or Atlanta, and they like the fact that they can buy a, you know, $140,000 house that'll rent out for $1,300 a month, which is, you know, when you start looking at the numbers like that, you realize, oh, I can completely understand why a realtor would be one of your investors.
So, you know, in all the deals you guys have done, I mean, I'm sure thousands and thousands over the years, is there one in particular that either you've done or maybe one that one of your investors have done that just sort of stands out as a best deal ever? And kind of knowing that most of these deals are long-term holds, they're not necessarily like a quick flip type deal with a bunch of profit. Is there any deal that stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and you know, anyone listening to this as well can probably attest, anybody that bought a property from, you know, 2010 to 2011 was their best deal ever. whether you bought one of them or 10 of them, those 10 or that one was probably your best deal ever. So the market does a great job of doing a lot of the heavy lifting when you're timing it right. But you know, with real estate, you know, what I found, and I'll talk about my best deal ever, which certainly wasn't my first deal ever. My first deal ever was actually my worst deal, which is, you know, no surprise. Probably just like the first time I tried to ride a bike was probably the worst experience I had as well. After I fell. And for me, you know, best deal ever. I grew up in Palm Springs area. I grew up in La Quinta, California, went to, you know, elementary, junior high school out there, and then moved out to Orange County for college. So I really knew the market well. It was my backyard. It was actually, you know, half mile from the house I grew up in. And at that time, there was a ton of, you know, short sales and foreclosures because no one was paying their bills. And so put a property under contract right near the house I grew up in that had, you know, gotten ripped out by the previous owner. You know, which was common. Everyone was taking, you know, appliances and countertops and windows and, you know, all that fun stuff, because, you know, whether they were angry at the bank or they needed the money, I don't know. But that's where a lot of opportunity is created. It's a lot more work, obviously, but, you know, you can add a ton of value, and someone can't just go in with a house like that and buy it with conventional financing. And generally, you know, majority of the buyers out there are, you know, people that aren't looking at a home that's torn apart or a horrible color and looks ugly. And it's like, oh, I can move that wall and we can add these countertops and we can, you know, add these cabinets and, you know, change these windows out. Most, you know, buyers want to walk into a home and be like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect home. This is where I can, you know, raise my kids and entertain my friends. And this is my, you know, safe haven. So, you know, it really cancels out a lot of potential buyers when you go into a place like that.
Sure.
So had to buy it cash, obviously, because it wouldn't qualify for conventional financing. So called up one of our investors, and he put up 100% of the acquisition.
Nice.
Which was about $150,000. And then I put up the renovation, which was about $75,000. So I was into it about $225,000.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything not in Excel or
<You're getting
laughs>
lazy.
Not for me. That's yeah, right. Exactly. You know, rented it out, you know, for $1,800 a month. I refinanced it. Just the acquisition, I refinanced that out, got a 4.25% 30-year fixed mortgage. So the mortgage is about 750, 780, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
I just hold it and rent it out. Property is probably worth about 400, 425 today.
Wow.
And really have no intentions of selling it. I mean, it's a great gated community, you know, golf course, and just, you know, I'd probably use it as a vacation home in 10 years from now or so when I can, you know, have that luxury. But yeah, you know, I did so much work. It was just like I was down there every single weekend for 6 weeks and on the phones with contractors and, you know, rehab crews. And at the end of it, I was like, gosh, if I sell this, you know, because at the time it was, you know, probably when I was done with it, I was probably worth, you know, 300 and I was in it for about 225. I was like, I could take that 75,000 profit, but I was like, man, like how much is that going to cost me?
Yeah.
You know, because the market was just so depressed. And although I had built up a ton of value and equity through that work, I was like, gosh, the market really only has one way to go. So that's, you know, for me, I'm so busy at work and so busy in the office. When I put in all that time to add value, I just don't want to sell it. I just want to hold it and rent it out and put it on a 30-year fixed loan. And, you know, when I'm 55, I can have, you know, six or seven of these free and clear and, you know, be making 15 grand a month and kind of decide, you know, that's assuming I stop now, but I don't know if I'll do that. But, you know, hypothetically, if I just wanted to just keep the status quo and not really do much and just, you know, wait 20, 25 years, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the truth is you could always tap into that equity. I mean, if you probably already looked into maybe getting a line of credit, if you wanted to take some equity out and reinvest it somewhere else or do some private money loans or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, home equity lines and cash out refinances are absolutely a possibility, which is awesome because that's, you know, tax deferred money.
Yep.
So that's another thing that, you know, and everyone, you know, is very successful at their specific niche, and my niche is buy and hold. But one of the things that, you know, you just get crushed at in flipping is, you know, capital gains.
Sure.
And adjusted gross income just goes through the roof, and, you know, your income tax is always going to be taxed higher than capital gains. So, you know, that's another benefit,
yep,
in my opinion, to the buy and hold model is, you know, the tax, you know, method in which the income and the profit is taxed.
Sure. Absolutely. That's a great best deal ever. Are there any of your investors maybe that stick out? It's like you said, I mean, I know a lot of your investors probably bought, you know, post 2008 and have done probably pretty well after everything crashed and there were some good deals. I mean, I even know, you know, Scott, who's your partner, you know, his brother bought from us, probably really good timing, and he ended up having to sell for one reason or another like a year or two later.
Yeah,
And I think it was an HOA issue or something.
yeah. So this is actually kind of a funny story, but it also shows you to do your homework and read your CC&Rs. So anytime you buy a rental property or not necessarily a rental property, but anytime you buy any property in an HOA, you get CC&Rs. I don't know what that stands for, but it's like conditions and restrictions or something for the community. And you should really read those. It's super important.
Well, at least look for the leasing restriction section.
Exactly. So in this particular community, you weren't allowed to rent out property. And so, 2 years into it, there was an assessment on the community, and everybody had to pay like, $2,000 for, I don't know, a new entrance or something like that. And so they're mailing these bills and these statements to the home, and they weren't mailing it to Alex, who is the owner of the property, Scott's brother, my business partner's brother, who owned the rental property. They were emailing it or mailing it directly to the property, which were tenants. And so, 6 months goes by, and finally the HOA comes to the house, and they're like, "Hey, like, if you don't pay this, we're gonna put a lien on your home and start foreclosing." And they're like, we're just tenants. Like, we don't own it." And they're like, "Oh, you're tenants. Oh, okay, great. Who's the owner?" So they, call up Alex, and they're like, "Hey, they can't rent this property out." And obviously he lives here in San Diego, and bought that property in Atlanta through Ken and his team, as a rental property 3,000 miles away. So he obviously is not going to go live there, and had to sell it. The good news was, when you buy right, it's okay, because I think he made $35,000 profit, and we moved, did a 1031 exchange, moved that to the Austin market. I think he bought it in Atlanta in probably 2011, and sold it maybe late 2013, and bought in Austin, which, if you guys track the Austin market at all, you'll know that that was a great decision. And obviously, based on our research, is why we made that decision, Marshall Reddick Real Estate's research, which has probably gone up another 30, 40,000, which is cool, because I think he's, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think it was like a $110,000 house in Atlanta with 20% down. So he's in the deal, 25 grand, 30 grand total. And has, turned that into a home in Austin that's probably worth 250 today, that, he only spent about 25 grand, and it probably has a $180,000 loan on it. So it's a win-win for everybody.
That's what you play, like you called successfully playing the market. And he was young too when he bought in Atlanta. I mean, he's in his young 20s. His first investment
I mean,
property. And it's
I think he's
fantastic.
26 now, so I don't know if he's old now.
Oh my gosh.
But he was,
That's
yeah, I mean, he
awesome.
was probably 22, 23 when he first bought it. And it's awesome. It's great, and that's one of the reasons we're in, 10, 15 different markets across the country, is because not everybody wants to put $200,000, $300,000 down, after any type of fix up or closing costs, in Orange County. We
Sure.
love doing Orange County. We have realtors and property managers and contractors in Orange County, and for those, with $500,000, $2 million, it's a great market, because you may not want to go own 40 properties out of state. So with our bigger investors, they like that aspect of owning, three or four properties in Orange County opposed to 40 properties in Atlanta
Sure.
and San Antonio and Austin. But not everyone has, $1 million, $2 million to invest. And if you only have 100 or 200 grand, it presents an awesome opportunity to start looking at markets like that, so that you can diversify outside of mutual funds and the stock market and bonds and annuities, which I think are a great investment. I just don't think you should have 100% of your investable assets in them.
Sure. Absolutely. When And actually, I mean, not even 200. You could have 25 to 50 grand in the bank and get started, technically,
Yeah,
with income and
absolutely.
conventional financing. Absolutely.
Which is exactly what I did when, I was 22, which is exactly what Alex did when he was 23. And if You know, that it, yeah, it, it anybody can do this. I mean, anybody can do this. And your first deal is never going to be as good as your third or fourth deal. But how the heck are you going to get to your grand slams if you don't start? You
that's
know,
right.
that's the thing that always kills me is, you know, there's some people that they just listen to tons of podcasts like this and they spend a ton of time on our website looking at our education tab and watching videos and reading articles and commenting and posting and they never do anything. And it's like, man, like, you know, 3-4 years goes by. And, you know, it's always like, oh, well, I should have bought then. Now the market's higher. And then it's like the next year, oh, I should have bought then. And now the market's higher. It's like we always wish we could have bought real estate at the prices our grandparents paid, you know?
Yeah.
And I think our grandchildren are going to say the exact same thing.
Sure. Yeah. It's never perfect. Nobody's got a crystal ball. So you're never going to buy just perfect and sell just perfect.
Yeah.
But you're never going to do anything if you don't take action.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, we always say, you know, if you're buying for the 10 to 15 year outlook, you just have to look at what the market has done the last 25 years, and then look at its current economic environment. So what is it doing politically? What are employers doing? Is population increasing or decreasing? Is unemployment increasing or decreasing? And California is a great example of that. It's, you know, it's kind of sad. We're just seeing so many businesses just leaving to markets like, you know, Arizona and Texas. And it's really frustrating for us. But at the same time, you know, we have great weather. So that's why we can be horrible to businesses. But you see markets like Arizona and Texas who are just gobbling up hundreds of thousands of new jobs a month. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
So in looking at that, you just have to look at, okay, you know, what is this market done in appreciation over the last 25 years? And then what is the property going to do right now in terms of cash flow? Am I going to make $100 a month? Am I going to lose $100 a month? And then once you're okay with that, you get the 30-year fixed loan. And you would assume that the market would be very similar in average appreciation over the next 25 years, better or worse, based on what the economic environment's doing. And
yep.
So that's, you know, we do a lot of that heavy lifting for you and provide a lot of that data on our website for you. So you don't have to go to 50 different places and collect all this stuff. You can come to one place and make your own decision and make an educated one off of really strong data.
So, well, to that point, let's talk about where can people find you?
Yeah, very simple, marshallreddick.com. Or you can, you know, I'm on LinkedIn, Ross Nelson. I think it says Orange County or Newport Beach, and I work for Marsh Reddick Real Estate. So yeah, marshreddick.com is where you can find me and the team, and we'd love to talk to you, work with you, and make money together.
Perfect. So again, folks, we'll put this in the show notes. marshreddick.com is the website. I'll make sure we have a link back to their website. Ross, thanks so much for being on the show. This was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate it. It's always a good time working with you, and I hope your listeners get a ton of benefit, you know, from the last 30 minutes of us talking together.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks again, Ross.
All right, take care.
Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. If you go to our website right now, dealfarm.net, you have the ability to download our new blueprint. It's called 30 Days to 10K. It's basically the exact blueprint you need to start profiting from wholesaling real estate right now. It's the resources, it's the websites, it's the services that we use. I've even included my exact postcard that I send out. Basically everything you need to start getting deals in the next 30 days. Again, it's at our website, dealfarm.net. Check it out, you can download it for free. Also, we still have our free t-shirt offer. If you want a free Deal Farm Podcast t-shirt, just subscribe through iTunes to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating, and then go through our website, contact us, give us your name, address, and t-shirt size, and we will send you a t-shirt in the mail immediately. As always, thanks so much for listening to the Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.